Fall in love with low prices. All in the Kroger app.
Get juicy green, red, or black seedless grapes for $1.88 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McKusick. Today, we start a very interesting three-part series that was brought to me by a listener for, I assume has been with us for a long time, but want to talk about cap planning. And as you know, I've been concerning a lot this offseason about how you re-sign all of the Ravens players that are not only free agents this year, but going to be free agents in 2026 or after the 2025 season. And this guy came up with a method to do it. It's very, very interesting. So joining us is Paul S. Paul, how you doing?
Great, Ken. How you doing?
Pleasure to have you on. Appreciate all your work on this. It's very detailed, and we're going to get into it. It's probably going to take us three episodes to do, but we're going to start with part one here today, which is the landscape, the underlying position the Ravens start from. Some people know the amount of cap or can know a quoted amount of caps. Paul, why don't you take us through where the Ravens are right now?
Yeah, so right now for 2025, the Ravens are listed as having $6 million in cap space, but that is not including Ardarius Washington's impending $5.2 million tender. So essentially, we're starting at about zero as far as that's concerned.
That is effective cap right after all players are signed.
Right, after everything else is factored in. And like you, I was pretty concerned.
Just to be clear, effective cap is every other player signed at a minimum contract, a vet min contract or a I don't know whether they use vet min or whether they use even rookie min on the remaining contracts. But whatever it is, they're assuming players are signed at a minimum contract for all the unfilled spots.
Correct. Yes. Okay. Yeah. And like you said, I was pretty concerned just with the sheer number of contracts that need to be addressed. But once I kind of really dug into it, it got a lot more clear to me as to how we can do this. And I don't think it's going to be a challenge, but I don't think it's quite the challenge that you would suspect looking at it from a surface level.
All right. So, you know, kind of at the top of the pyramid here is the current Lamar Jackson situation, because Lamar is set to earn what percentage of the cap in 2025?
In 2025, he is currently about 15%, about roughly 15% in 2025 as it's right now.
60-ish million out of about 304 or something like that.
Well, in 2025, he's only scheduled to make 43.65.
Oh, okay. So it's probably lower than that. Okay. So I think it's 304 is the projected cap. Are we dealing with the same number, or what do you have for a projected cap for this year?
2025 is going to be 275 or 274. Okay. And then 2026 is probably going to be around 300. I had to guess.
Okay. So 16%, we'll call it, in terms of the percentage of the cap. Okay. And then do you want to take us through the structure of that? Because one of the things we're trying to do in this series of episodes is solve a problem that's not just a 2025 problem. It's a 2026 and a beyond problem. And Jackson has a pretty significant upslope to his remaining cap numbers on his contract, correct?
Correct. This year, 2025, is fine. But next year and the year after is when the cap numbers really, really jump up. You know, you go up to $74 million in 2026, and then 2027, remember, you have another $12,500 in void money added on to that number. So now you're pushing up, you know, towards the $87 million range if we factor in that void. So what we'd really like to do is just give him a market rate extension, lock him up now for the next, say, 7 years or so, and really flatten that cap percentage out to smooth it over the life of that deal, the new deal.
Okay. So, you know, obviously Mahomes signed with the Chiefs for 10 years. So it was already in the thing. Lamar signed for 5 years, but also has a no franchise tag guarantee within his contract that he won't be held hostage, quote unquote, again at the end of this next contract. Do you think after two MVP seasons, this is kind of an optimal time to sign him, or should they wait?
Well, when it comes to your elite players, you want to sign them as early and as often as possible. It's not going to benefit you waiting from a team's perspective, because $65 million this year is going to be $70 million next year, and it's going to be up higher the after that. And the player is getting increasing leverage, you know, as you go on toward those higher cap numbers, especially. So the ideal situation is to kind of take care of this offseason.
Okay, so I completely buy you on the leverage component in terms of Lamar a year from now, based on the difference in what the impending cap is, will have, or cap hit is, will have a lot of leverage in terms of negotiating quality terms going forward. On the other side, he's got tremendous playing leverage right now based on what he's done the last two seasons with two MVPs. It doesn't seem likely that he's going to sign a market rate extension or even a $1 million over what the other contracts have been after the two seasons he's just had.
Okay, so you're thinking more than 65 on the extended years? Because 65 would be about commensurate to what Dak signed last year, his 60. So, I mean, maybe it is 67, 68, you know, and into the higher 60s. But when I structured this new contract, I want to make it very clear that this is a market rate extension. This is not a hometown discount. This is not a Mahomes-type deal where he's really kind of giving the team a lot. This is standard number across the board that will make him by far the highest paid, you know, quarterback contract thus far in history. So this is not Lamar doing us any favors or anything. This is paying Lamar exactly what he's worth.
Okay. So hopefully you're right about that. Hopefully Lamar actually believes you're right about that, which is the key. And maybe they can, you know, talk about what's a reasonable structure the extension to maintain the integrity of the team, because that's really very central to the Ravens getting the cap under control. They don't want to have this spiral with tons of void money and a forced reset year at some point after this entire term is over.
Correct. Yeah, you want to, like I said, you want to get this done as soon as possible, and just have that taken care of, because if we even look forward to the next 2 or 3 years with the whole void year thing, I'll mention that a little bit. I don't have a problem with void years on Lamar's contract. It's just strategically placed. Now, when it comes to other players, I don't think it's necessary anymore. Because if you look back, the only reason we had to really start using the void years was because of Lamar's contract initially and because of the cap.
Pandemic cap.
Right. That's not an issue anymore. And it's, like I said, if we have to borrow any cap money from anyone, I want it to be from Lamar. So if he does get a new extension, I wouldn't have any problem with a couple, 2 or 3 void years, you know, tacked on to the end of that to maintain that cap, you know, structure and flatten it out over the next 5 years.
All right. Philosophically, that makes sense, I think, because if Lamar Jackson were suddenly to go in the tank and not be the quarterback he was, that may necessitate a reset year anyway. So if after 10 years, all of a sudden loses his speed, loses his ability to find people downfield, whatever it might be, that he's not Lamar Jackson anymore, the Ravens are probably going to have to think about, you know, how they strategically cut him or trade him potentially. And that's going to necessitate a reset year for sure. I guess I'm a little concerned. Lamar's situation here, he's with a winner and he's in one of the best possible situations in the entire National Football League. You know, Jalen Hurts is in that situation. Mahomes is in that situation. Josh Allen's in that situation. I'm wondering if Lamar Jackson sees himself as a guy who brings the entire team up so much that he can go to a Denver or another, you know, place that has a lot of cap room and would have the ability to sign him. And I would be mildly concerned about Jackson's desire to be the hero player at a new franchise.
Yeah, I hear that. But I tell you, man, Eric DaCosta has done a great job of putting a bunch of fantastic players around Lamar Jackson. So I wouldn't have any doubt that he might have a little of that in him. but I think he has to recognize what he has here as well. And also recognize that there is a little bit of downside for him pushing it off another year. I mean, we know anything can happen, you know, Lord forbid a major injury or what have you. And right now he's scheduled to take home about $28 million in 2025. A new deal would take that $28 million and would put it almost at $100 million in 2025. Right. So that's a bunch of security for him right there in moving forward. And, you know, maybe he's leaving a little on the table, but I really don't think he is when you're talking about that significant of a payment in 2025. And I hope, as I put in notes, that he has somebody around him to kind of drive this point home that if you're trying to wait to maximize the dollars, there's two sides of the coin to that, you know?
Sure.
And while I will admit the downside is pretty negligible just in case of that injury, it is there, you know, so that can't be overlooked.
All right. All right. Well, fair enough. And he's certainly seen, you know, Brandon Stevens have an off year after a big one and things like that happen. I don't know if Lamar really believes that'll happen to him, but that's okay. We'll assume that he wants to play ball as part of this. So that's a big part of the strategy you're going to lay out for us, is that Lamar gets signed to a market value contract, levelizes a lot of cap concerns the Ravens have. And under that, then, you think that the 2025-26 seasons, the Ravens can get into a decent cap position with what is essentially their current players, including these guys who are coming up on a contract year right now. Ronnie Stanley is obviously a free agent right now, but also players like Owe and Linderbaum and Jones and Andrews and Likely, who are a year away.
Correct. And one of the things that really kind of jumped out at me that I didn't kind of even think of until I got into this was all those guys you just mentioned are basically on the books for something in 2025. I mean, even Ronnie Stanley has $8 million in void year money already accounted for. And the thing is, when you draft so well, and you can get in a position to extend these guys early, you can manage it. You know what I mean? Because then you can spread it out and you can, you know, move a little here and move a little there. And that's the situation they're in with a lot of players right now. And like I said, a lot of these guys are already on the books for a certain amount of money. A lot of the third year rookie guys will have their cap numbers go up a little bit. But again, in my projections, I actually designed 2025 and 2026 fairly flat instead of very low in 2025, as low as humanly possible, and then having jump incrementally, just because the way it sets up for 25 and 26, 25 is actually in a little better position just because of that Lamar situation.
Okay, good point here, and very important in franchise building. Something a lot of other teams have frankly been better than the Ravens at is creating levelized, a lot of people would call them team-friendly deals that you can get out of more easily down the line. But you, in order to do so, you have to generally pay more money up front in that first year. The Ravens, typically in their history, have always been about minimizing the first-year cap hit. And if we want to keep this team together, it has to be looked at from a multi-year perspective.
Absolutely, absolutely. And in all my projections, like I said, you could take 2025 numbers down a significant amount. But again, I was trying to keep it fairly flat because this year we kind of got a little room to play with before in year two. Like, let's say if we sign eight of these guys, you know, their cap hits are all going to significantly or jump a little bit in year two. That's got to be accounted for. So even with the projections I made, I mean, I was kind of doing kind of worst case scenario as far as how low they could get the cap hits. They could go much lower than I projected.
Okay, so as you're going to lay this out for us, and we're going to go this over on a couple more episodes, but as you're going to lay this out for us, how much money do you have them starting the 2025 season with in cap after all adjustments are made? Because there's two pieces of that I want to ask you, but as you've got it right now, how much do you have starting the 2025 season?
Again, we're pretty much even. You know what I mean? When you add in Adarius Washington's $5.2 million tender, we're pretty much starting at about zero. Maybe a couple million negative.
So they can't start at zero, obviously, from a practical standpoint, because they'll need about $5 million just for in-season transactions. So we'd have to kind of remodel and allow for that. But then the second part of this question is, how much are you giving the Ravens in free agency? Not that they're going to go after any big names, because I don't believe they are, but just for players they need to sign above the vet minimum. Not the Ravens guys, But let's say they need to go out and get a safety and they want to pay $4 million for 2 years. There's nothing really like that built into this either.
No, there's not, but there's room to do so. I had two free agent acquisitions on the list that I just didn't put a number on, but there's room to do so if they need to. Like, for example, if we couldn't come to terms with one of the guys who we wanted to, and we say, you know what, we're probably not going to work it out. Let's go and kind of plan a year ahead. They could do that. But there, that's what I'm saying. There's still room in 2025 to add a couple decent free agents, even taking care of all these guys.
All right. All right. Any other cap triggers I can think of? So there will be players in this group that will probably be having pretty significant NLTBE numbers, not likely to be earned. NLTBE, yes, not likely to be earned. Do you see that as part of it? In particular, I associate that with pass rushers. It's been certainly true with Van Noy and Clowney in recent years, but the Ravens have had good luck at the bargain bin. And they've also had a ton of Pro Bowlers, and they've had a ton of players who just outperformed what are relatively minuscule free agent salaries and really cashed in on that end.
Yeah, that would factor in probably on the new contracts that we sign and if those incentives are, you know, are in there. When I did the projections, I just used base levels. You could go 18 different ways with incentives. So I really didn't sure. get too much into that, but that could definitely be a factor if some of these guys overperform, going into next year, in the 26 cap.
Okay. So we'll have to kind of consider that. And let's talk about the players that are in this group, and we'll talk about this in the individual ones as well, but I want to talk about the core of players that you're keeping within this cap plan of yours.
Correct. Okay, so we have Ronnie Stanley, Isaiah Likely, Mark Andrews, we'll get to him later, Marlon Humphrey, Tyler Linderbaum, Madafi Owe, Kyle Hamilton, Tyler Linderbaum, and Travis Jones. And
okay, you got Linderbaum is in here twice. Look at my third year guys right. here. So the other third year guys you're letting go, just to be clear.
Well,
you're
yeah.
not trying to go ahead.
I was going to say Falele is one that we could probably throw in there. But
yeah, I'm instead of Linderbaum.
Go. I'm just trying to focus on the key parts. You know what I mean, so to speak.
Okay, I would, given the Ravens' offensive line situation, I would actually include Falele as a key part.
Okay,
but
okay.
because they need to extend him. But the third year players for the Ravens, I'm just going to go through these guys really quickly, and then there's some other guys who have different contract situations that are coming due anyway. But right. Daniel Falele, Kyle Hamilton, who he's actually got two more years under contract because the Ravens will certainly pick up his fifth year option. So they could wait a year on him, but under your strategy, you're saying go after him right now and extend him, right?
Yeah. Again, I'm trying to early extend these guys if I can. It just makes the structures and how you can spread it much more palatable as far as waiting.
Okay. So you've got Travis Jones in here. You don't have Charlie Kohler in here.
Kohler was another interesting one. I would bet Charlie Kohler's future has a lot to do with Mark Andrews' future.
Yeah, I would bet that too.
You know, if they decide to part ways with Andrews for any other reason, I suspect they would try to get Kohler back on a very reasonable contract to kind of pick up some of that slack, that would go with Andrews.
Okay, you're not trying to maintain the Wolfpack. Are you a complete flush on the Wolfpack? Nick Moore will be a third-year player here. And Jordan Stout is a third-year player. So you could let them all go and bring in a new special teams Wolfpack. Are you in favor of that?
Yeah, I mean, you could.
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium, 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious, high-potency gummies, top-shelf flower, home-baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary, you can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens Check out their online dispensary and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code Ravens when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Could draft a guy. I mean, these aren't guys that are going to make a lot of money. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't see the risk necessarily in just letting them play out the final year and then just having a little more information to make your decision. Maybe they can, you know, get back in the groove of things, so to speak, with the struggles in 2024. But yeah, I don't see that they're really pressing needs or needs that are going to kill us if we don't get something done with them.
All right. And then you've got Ardarius Washington that you've got in your plan, and then you do not have either of two significant free agents. Ben Cleveland, but we call him significant or not, he is a free agent, probably is walking, don't see that changing. And Brandon Stevens, same deal. You don't have either of them included.
Yeah, I mean, Stevens, you know, he really cost himself a lot of money with this past season. I think mm-hmm. we could agree that. And is he going to get a free agent contract of significance on the open market? I mean, maybe, maybe not, but what is it really going to be? But I think what you've said is exactly what they're going to do. You know, go out there, see what you're worth, come back to us. And if it's cheap enough, then we'll talk. But I do think Stevens, just because of the defense he's a part of, gets a little bit of a bad rap because everybody says, oh, well, they target him all the time. Well, who else are you going to target? You're going to throw it Marlon Humphrey? You're going to throw it, you know, your first-round pick Nate Wiggins? No, you're going to throw up Brandon Stevens. Now, with all that being said, again, he still struggled. So I think that's a test the market, see what you got, and we'll talk. But, you know.
I think part of the issue is that when they brought Trey White on the field, he really outplayed Stevens. And that's right. That's part of the issue that I think that a lot of fans have with the situation. You don't have anything for Trey White on here, so that's he's an important free agent that you have leaving, right?
Correct. We definitely could use him for cornerback depth. Again, probably not a guy that's going to command a huge amount of money. So if you can get him for a very moderate deal, you know, as a depth piece, have at it. Shouldn't cost you that much in 2025 and beyond.
Well, he's not going to be so he's either a one-year prove-it deal, which I don't think is really going to happen, or he's a guy who probably a lot of incentives in a deal like that, like a 1.5 grading or up to with a maximum of 5, say, if he plays a lot.
Totally. Totally.
Or it could be an NLT TBE guy, even over multiple years. If you want to sign him for a $3 million base, say like a late career Jimmy Smith contract, where he also had incentives that he could earn more. So there definitely are ways that White stays and he's a bigger factor against the cap. And in a lot of ways with Stevens walking, and with Jalen Armour Davis not being among the guys you're re-signing, I would think that would probably have to be the case.
Yeah, I think if it's a choice between Stevens and White, they're obviously going White. And again, it shouldn't be that crazy of a deal to get him back. Throw a bunch of incentives, make sure he can stay healthy because that's been his issue, and you know, see where it ends up.
Okay. All right. Now Tylan Wallace, you don't have in there. He is a free agent. He's walking. And he's a guy who he can have a qualified veteran contract where he earns about $1.5 million, but then has another $1 million paid to him that doesn't count against the cap.
Interesting. Okay, I wasn't aware of that, but yeah, Tylan is another guy I'm sure they'd love to have back, and I'm sure it wouldn't exactly cost them much, right. For what is so. Again, if they wanted him back, I'm sure they can squeeze him in, and with the depth or lack thereof at wide receiver behind Zane Bateman, I think that's probably a way they're going to try to go.
Okay. We got two more players on the offensive line. So the thing that concerns me most is the number of departing free agents, potentially with Stanley, Cleveland, Jones, and McCary all as free agent departures. Now, McCary, I believe, actually is going to be fairly expensive to sign. You have him going, right?
Yeah, I let him go because I guess how would you classify his play in 2024, Ken?
It actually was pretty good, as it turned out. So he was terrible to start the season at tackle. But then he's a tackle backup for the Ravens. That's part of the value he provides. But when he played at guard, he had actually a fairly solid B season. He got his penalties under control in the second half. A lot of the offensive line did, and he played pretty well. So, you know, you could do a lot worse, let's just put it, than what Patrick McCary did at guard. And that said, I don't think he was a great pairing with Linderbaum in that left A gap because of the size disadvantage you kind of present to the opponent there.
Right. And I agree with you. He does have value to the Ravens. I just feel like if you've got to look for places to save a little, the Ravens have shown that they can go into the draft in the mid rounds and get these guys to kind of fill in and replace if they wanted to. So I would tend to lean, if we're going to have Linderbaum and Rosengarten and hopefully Stanley, at to maybe just trying to do the draft thing again and bring some new guys in. And because I just think if he does get even a moderate type deal, are we really going to pay Linderbaum, Stanley, a guard, possibly Rosengarten? I mean, you've got to save somewhere. And I think, you know, with the magic of Lamar Jackson, I think he can mask a lot of that, and we can do okay by replacing those guys in the draft versus having to pay free agent market money to fill that role.
I'm in with you there in terms of, and it may be that McCary goes to the market and he's just not worth as much as I think he might be worth, but I think he could be $6 to $9 million per year is what somebody will end up paying him in terms of AAV. And I could be too low on that because the guard market went crazy last year. McCary's 27 years old. He's not, you know, ancient yet. So it's still a chance, I think, that he could make a few bucks. Maybe get a James Hurst type contract. James Hurst signed for 4 for $17, I think, with the Ravens as his initial second contract.
Yeah, and I could see some team looking at Ravens O-line, running game. This guy was a part of it. And giving him some, you know, contract on the free agent market that is just – not what we're willing to pay, like you were saying, in that $6 to maybe $9, you know, million-dollar range. And I just don't know if that fits in with what we're trying to do for now and over the next few years as far as, you know, getting this cap situation structured properly.
Okay. And there's one other big name that's missing here. It's an all pro is Patrick Ricard. You don't have him in the being re-signed in your plan.
Oh, I do. I do have him in there.
Okay. So he's not on your list of contracts here.
Yeah, players that already have cap numbers on that list.
Okay.
But he's in there. He's in there. And glad you brought up Patrick Ricard, because I definitely wanted to hit on his quote at the end of the season really stuck out to me. Not for what he said, but kind of how he said it and the words he chose. It wasn't some boilerplate, you know, yeah, I think this is a great team. We're going to win. We've got a great shot or whatever. His exact quote was, "It's inevitable. Lamar is going to win a Super Bowl, and I want to be part of it." Yeah. And when I heard that, because I had been thinking that towards the end of the season, I'm like, are we going to have a Lamar Jackson effect start to kind of take hold here, where guys are going to maybe make not big concessions, but little small ones that can add up over the course of a few players, you know, going forward?
So you have Ricard signed, but what's the AAV on Ricard you have?
I think it's going to be 2 for $5 or 2 for $6, maybe.
Okay, so here's the good news. Okay, if it's 2 for $5, Ricard may want the two-year guarantee that goes with that. But the Ravens have two qualified veteran contracts they can give out, and each of those is about $2.7 million with only 1.6-ish counting against the cap. He could get one of those, and Wallace perhaps could get the other. Harrison currently has one. The Ravens may or may not want to re-sign him under this
that's deal. That's a great plan right there, and that would be perfect for him, because I think he wants to be back. I'm guessing the Ravens would take him back at that number. I mean, his first year cap number would be, you know, $1 million, and then it would jump just a little bit in 2010. But like I said, from that quote, if Patrick Ricard is in the locker room thinking like that, I guarantee there are a whole bunch of other players in that locker room thinking the same thing. And that's only good for the Ravens. You know, I was so happy to hear him say that. And it was just, It was dead one.
Can you tell me now, let's look at a macro level at the amount of cap growth you've got in there right now. So you say the league has got a $275 million cap. Is that a hard number now for 2025?
It's projected like 274. I think that's
okay,
what
274.
274. So it was 255 in 2024. So we jumped 20 from 24 to 25. Mm-hmm. And I suspect we're going to jump about 25 from 2025 to 2026. So we'll be around 300.
Okay. So I use 300 right now. That's 9.5% growth in the cap. And I think if you look back at the history of cap growth, it hasn't been quite that high a number on average per year. You get more like 8%. There's been some up, some down, and we're not factoring in for a pandemic here. So we're not expecting a decline from that or the dead cat bounce you get back from that afterwards. But it does seem like a 9.5% might be optimistic. And the Ravens need to be careful because they're going to be tight against this cap. And they'll have already essentially spent their 2026 flexibility will already be built into this two-year or this multi-year plan you're creating here.
Correct. Yes. I multiplied by 1.08 off that 275 number for 2025.
A 274 number you said, right? That's if I multiply 1.8, I get only to 296. So you're about 4 million.
I probably did go to the little nine then. I was just adding 25 and then 25 in prospective years to keep it simple. I could have 1.22 multiple going back to 2023, and then a 1.31 multiple back to 2022. So it was only 8% last year, but other years it has been more.
Do you have the history of cap there? How far back do you go back on the history of cap?
Yeah, like I said, offhand, I only have the multiples I used to multiply by as far as the increase.
I'm going to do a little math here. The 2022 cap was how much?
2022 cap. I don't have it offhand, Ken. I really don't.
Okay, no problem. So we'll maybe get into it in one of the other shows, or we maybe won't. But the point is that you're saying there's a 31% increase over 3 years. That I was going to try and figure out. Well, 31% increase over 3 years, I think, is what you said, right? So if I take
correct, yeah. If you look on the spreadsheet on
okay, well, that has that has worked out to about 9.4% per year. So maybe that's even what you did is you calculated the cap by.
So 2024 was 1.08 multiple. 2023 was 1.22. Mm-hmm. 2022 was 1.32, and 2021 was 1.51.
Okay, those numbers. That's the multiple of the. Okay, that's the two. Let me explain. It's the projected 2025 cap divided by the cap in each of those years. It gets you to 1.52 or 1.31 or whatever those numbers you just claimed.
Correct. Okay. That's the increase, since that year. That you multiply into it.
It's kind of my area. My wheelhouse is doing some of this stuff. So I wanted to figure it out. The 9.5% seems like might not be an unreasonable thing. I wonder if the NFL is running out of has tapped into some of the big increases in revenue. Of course, one of the big ones was really embracing gambling. And I don't know how much further they can go with that other than taking the bets themselves, which I certainly don't want them doing. Do you have a sense of that international games? Something they can do more of?
Don't quote me on this, but I think there's a TV deal too coming up in the next few years. I think, like I said, don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure there's another TV deal coming up that some are suspecting is going to really jump it up again. But again, I'm not factoring in that at all. I was just trying to use the standard deviation as we went on for the past 4 years to project into the future.
Okay, so the market, the market that's out there for football is fairly well exposed at this point, meaning we're already selling a bunch of jerseys in Europe. I mean, you go over there and go to a football game anywhere in Europe, and you see literally all 32 teams. If you ever go on the road as a kid, and you play the license plate game where you try and drive up the East Coast or something.
Absolutely did. Yep.
Yeah. And you try and see one of every state, and it gets exciting when you pass a truck and they might have six on them, if you want to count that. But anyway, the idea is it's very hard to find some of the places, and it's not hard to find the others. If you go to an NFL game in Europe, you'll see all 32 jerseys, and you'll see them actually pretty quickly. You'll see one of each of the 32. But my point is the NFL is getting pretty exposed in most of the world's major markets. Japan, they're not completely exposed in China and India. And those are potentially very large markets. But in terms of the heavy dollar markets, bootstrapping on countries like Cambodia and Laos and selling a bunch of jerseys there, it doesn't mean that much because there just aren't that many people to sell jerseys to. There's a lot of people to sell jerseys potentially to. There's not a lot of money to be spent on jerseys or streaming rights in those countries. And that's where I get a little concerned about how quickly the NFL can grow their revenue and what might be their next big step. Could they become a fantasy football? Could it be run by the NFL or whatever somehow? Could they be, a new avenue for that? And I think everything that they get into that's a big money idea basically involves gambling.
Yeah. So I guess what you're trying to say is you're skeptical of how much room for growth there actually is
exactly
in the future. No, I totally get that. The only counterpoint I would say to that, and this NFL is a money-making machine, and they seem to find ways every single year to make even more of it. So I totally get what you're saying, and you might be right, but I just feel like this is a freight train running down the tracks, and I don't see much that's going to stop it. And again, when I did all these contracts, very, very important, I didn't use any void years. I didn't do any special things.
Okay,
I kept
good.
Very stable. Because again, we're trying to assume the worst here. We're always assume the worst when it comes to finances as usual. And I tried to be very conservative in that regard in laying, all this out.
Okay. Yeah, that's a really good point. So you've actually used somewhat flat contracts. You haven't leveraged them to the hilt with $1 million the first year and then, the hockey stick like projection of future salaries. Okay, got you on that. This is great stuff. And this episode, I think, was a great setup for this series. Really appreciate you doing it, Paul. We're splitting this out into three episodes. So we're going to come back and we're going to talk about offense or defense first, but we'll, I don't know in what, order these will go. But we'll have lots of questions. It'll be, some of the same, and we'll be interested to see if there are, some folks out there maybe have other questions as well. Paul, thanks again for joining us. Tell folks where they can talk football with you online.
Twitter, as usual, at the NFL Analyst. I'm there way too much. So if you ever want to find me, ever want any of this research I've done, just shoot me a DM. I'll send it right over to you. No problem.
Yeah, outstanding. Okay, Paul, really well done stuff and very well laid out here, by the way. I don't expect, by the way, people who do film study shorts to give me what Paul has, because there's a ton of information here. It's very well laid out. And actually just following through on his set of points here he wants to make to ask some questions from it. But it's extremely well laid out. And along those lines, I'm still looking for more people to do film study shorts this offseason. This is the perfect time. As soon as March starts to roll around, we start to get more into a very heavy draft time. And ideally, February is a great month, and up till about March 15th is a very good timing. But I want to hear your ideas, and I want to get some new people to be regular guests on the show. So please, if you would like to do that, hit me up. I'll get back to you very quickly. Paul, how quickly did I get back to you on your idea here?
Right away. Right away, Ken. Appreciate it.
All right. Well, I appreciate you too, my friend. And thanks for coming on, and we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always on the verge of death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
to savings at Menards and start updating your home today. We have what you need to give your bathroom a fresh, updated look. Shop Menards' great selection of bathroom products from American Standard. No matter the size of your bathroom, American Standard offers a superior line of toilets, faucets, sinks, and bathtubs. Complete your bathroom update today with American Standard. Plus, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and race to savings on all the great deals happening this week.
Save big.